Well, we got in a debate. My dad and I, Earl, out in the yard. We used some language that wasn't very good. Mother wrote it down. She knew she couldn't handle us since we were about these kids' sizes then, you know, and Mother was kind of a frail sort of a woman. She was not short, but she was medium size, but she was a healthy person all the time. She had her problems. Finally died of polio. Well, where was it now?
She wrote the words down, you said.
Oh, she wrote the words down that we called each other during the day. Dad came home, and we was in the dining room around the big round table. Three of us working out our schoolwork for the night. Pretty soon we heard Dad says, "Well, I'll be a son of a bitch."
Oh, dear.
All three of us broke.
Well, he tried to make you read some of them, didn't he?
And he called us out there and he had it in and he said, "Read this."
They stumbled and stammered.
We tried to strive, but we couldn't read it and say much.
It wouldn't come out like it did before.
He always would never give, but he never was mean to it.
I don't think they swore sins.
Well, we forgot all the words after that. I'll tell you, we didn't. Never was he ever say anything bad around Mother. But she might write it down. But she couldn't. She tried to stop us from quarreling about it. So we just used some bad language. It didn't sound so good when you're reading your own story. Well, Dad was like David O. McKay said about him. He said there was never a greater Latter-day Saint in the church than he was.
He said that during his funeral?
He said that to Granddad's funeral, my dad's funeral. Mm-hmm. He said there never was a greater Latter-day Saint in the church. He said it up in the 24th once. He come there, he had a grandson. He came up to bless when I was bishop. He came in the office and visited about 20 minutes before the meeting started. It was a fast day. I knew he'd be there because he had this grandson to be blessed. So we had the chorus all set up for him. He grinned at me a little bit and he said, "Did you plan this out?" And I said, "No, we just thought it out." We just kind of thought maybe you'd show up today. "Oh, should we run this meeting?" He said, "You go right ahead and run your fast meeting just like you always do." We did. When we got about wore out trying to get it, everybody was scared to get up and give it. Finally, I said to him, "Mother, don't you take a little time, President?" He said, "I'll do that." That's when he got up. He said, This my father of these two boys, supporting your dad and me. It's the greatest Latter-day Saint that this church ever had. Now here's two boys following his footsteps." Then he went on and gave quite a lovely story of the gospel in the early days. He was the most charming man I ever knew.
The Belknap name is pretty well known. I was just thinking when they built the Idaho Falls Temple, and Jill was living up there, you know, where we went up with some friends to go through this temple for the first time. And they was in state presidency. And here is Rosemary Belknap, and the bishop was Folly Belknap, and the state presidency was Harris Belknap. Everything was Belknap on that recommend. I remember they made quite a big fuss over that day.
Like I went to fill a prescription a little while ago. Went up to Murray's Drug, and there was a new girl there, and she got had it to her to give to the pharmacist. She said, "Well, E.B. Belknap, 720 Belknap Circle." Dr. Ann Blaine Bell had. He said to the dramatist, he said, there's a mistake here. The Belknap man and the Belknap doctor, and he lives in Belknap Circle.
You'd be surprised what that name does for you. You kids ought to buy this duplex over here so you can live there someday. The minute you say, no matter what store you go in or business or anything else, you give your name and your address. Oh! Do you own that property? Are you Belknap
Circle? Is that name after you guys?
And some of them say, well, is that an option?
Yeah, I call it
just,
about
it's just funny that it just
laps, so
gives you a little prestige or something, yeah. Just because they don't
name.
Want this, but just the name.
So it's worth Belknap Circle. I told them, so, wow, is that named after you?
Yes.
I said, well, I was say, among the tribe, and I said, really, our father.
And I said, well, my father-in-law that really had the property.
Carried it out until now. He's been dead some 30
years. He was a pioneer out here.
Well, see, it was Emmalou that got the street named, wasn't it?
Huh?
Wasn't it Emmalou that got the street named?
Well, Vaughn
no.
And Bob, you
no,
see.
No, she didn't get the street named. But we got the ground from her. And actually, the Mrs. James that lived in it gave us the idea when we got the circle all completed and these duplexes built. Why, there's a James family lived in this duplex. And then we had to give it some kind of a name. And Bob and I stood there in Emmalou thinking about what we should name it. Mr. James spoke up and said, why don't you call it Belknap Circle? That's where it was named, and we said,
that
that's just
house
right.
That
we just
here.
Do it. We built this first
they,
house, just the one that you see.
Finished bedrooms in the basement and everything. They've got four bedrooms. Two
well, I financed that one.
Hmm?
I financed that one.
Did you?
Hmm?
That's a James, huh?
James.
Yeah.
Well, do you know that fellow that owns it now, this Jim Linford?
Jim Linford.
He's asking $225 a month for each side.
They put two basements, two rooms in the basement since.
Something.
Two bedrooms in the basement.
I tried to get our kids to get
they're
down
all
here
passed away, except the girl.
Prestige,
she was divorced. She moved away when her kids got married. Mrs. James stayed there a while. He died, and then she died. And the kids that got married or live in other places, so they sold the place, and Jim Linford bought it. I don't know, he rented it first to a bunch of girls in Weaver College, and believe me, that was something.
Well,
he had
was
Belknap
bad.
Circle.
There was girls in one side and boys in the other.
Oh, boy.
Well,
it drilled those holes.
We would have, we would have at least eight or nine fellows come down here
James
every night.
There. Mr. James died, and Mrs. James had a stroke.
They'd have a party on it. They said it was only up
it.
About this
so
side.
They opened it through.
Boy, oh boy, we couldn't
right
get any sleep anyway.
They handed it to these kids with boys on one side and the other. It was terrible.
Finally, they
we had to get them out of there, that's all.
We just had to make so much complaint. We called the officers up there, and the officers quieted them down. An hour later, it was on just as strong. So it was just a bad thing. And the next year, he rented it to boys, and that was quiet. They went away.
That's who you want to rent to. Rent to boys.
Rent to
they
boys.
Always go to the home of the girls.
They go to the home of the girls.
I was going to say, that was all boys on both sides. There'd be no trouble that way.
But when the girls were all on there, there would be a half a dozen boys show up every night. And Lorna was teaching down in Henninger, see. And two of the girls came from Idaho, and their parents were very concerned to see they got flunked. That's why they were flunked, because they were out here making folk and pop and stuff every night or two. See, big party going on every night. We couldn't sleep until midnight.
Well, who owns it now?
Jim Linford.
Jim Linford, but it's vacant. He got two families in there with a lot of little children, and they just knocked it to pieces, and evidently they didn't pay their rent, so he had to move.
He raised their rent from $130 up to $200, and then they
but he's still it. Asking $225 because I talked to him just
well,
the other day.
Well, he's rebuilding it. He's refinished papers, painting it all over again, and now he's going to ask $225 for it, he said.
Is Leo Hurst still living over here?
Yeah. But Leo doesn't have the property for Bruce anymore.
He's had an operation for cancer, and he's still taking cobalt treatments and things, and he's been quite sick. And so Bruce doesn't let Leo handle it anymore. This
Scott Smith.
Smedden, that fellow that was in our bishopric, is now in the High Council, Scott Smedden.
Oh, he's elected to city commissioner now.
Her mother lives in one of these duplexes, and so
he manages
the properties.
Leo just got himself failed if he got there.
What? I missed something,
but here. Well, Brian, why don't you turn the tape recorder off? It's after 10 o'clock, and it's past your bedtime.
It's past our bed.
Their bedtime, my bedtime.
It's past our bedtime, is right.
Past my bedtime.
We'll have to continue some other.
Sure, it's nice to stay up past your bedtime occasionally. I really enjoyed it.